I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And on song Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing out there the song of victory.
Hallelujah.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing sun.
Verse 3.
I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory.
Hallelujah.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Hallelujah.
What a wonderful, wonderful Savior he is. He sought me, he bought me with his own redeeming blood. He plunged me to victory. Hallelujah. Beneath that cleansing flood. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, and we do thank you tonight. Lord God, we thank you for sending your Son. Lord, that he came willingly, Father, to bring redemption to lost humanity. Hallelujah. We rejoice in your redemption tonight. We rejoice in the gift of life eternal. Hallelujah. Thank you for sending your Son. Jesus, thank you for coming willingly to do what had to be done to bring us back to God. Thank you. When we were still sinners, when we hated you, You came at the right time. Thank you, Lord, for coming at the right time. Hallelujah. Amen.
That's the song that when my mom and dad first found Pentecost, hadn't even found Pentecostal church to go to yet, but they found the experience and they wanted more of it. They bought that record. In days it was records. And this would have been 1949. They bought that record.
Victory. When? 49? Those probably were old 78s then,
yes,
weren't they?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And they bought a big record of Victory in Jesus. And they wore it out.
Hallelujah.
They wore it out. They played it and played it. And the house just rang. But that brought them to deeper in Pentecost. And that brought them to eventually here. But I praise God for what music can do, what a song can do, what a testimony
yes,
can be.
Sometimes
when you don't have time for anything else and you're traveling in the car and the music can just, by the time you get to work, you're just bouncing. You're just praising God and thanking Him. And that song just brought me back a couple of years.
Yeah, I remember when I first was saved, I knew nothing about Christianity or anything at all. I didn't even know there was such a thing as a godly or Christian radio station. Whoever turned the dial off of KDWB or KQRS, that's the one I listened to. And back then it was not real good. I don't know what it is today, but a friend of mine made a couple tapes, cassette tapes. A friend of his made some tapes. And actually, that's where I learned a lot of hymns that I know today, because he had them on those tapes, and I just would put those tapes in, and they're worn out. I mean, you put them in now, they're they're pretty rough shape, but they brought life. You know, the Holy Spirit works in that. And I believe music has a life. I don't believe that music, the notes, are neutral. I believe notes have life. I believe that with all my heart. I believe music has a life, because I used to listen to death, and now I listen to life. And my sisters told Gail, I'm sure a lot of you have heard it, she asked them what I was like before I became a Christian, and my oldest sister said, well, the closest thing I can think of is walking gloom. And yes, I was. I was constantly depressed. There was nothing good about life. That's the music I listened to. Bob Dylan I listened to a lot. Some pretty raunchy stuff. It was not good. But it has a life. And it brings that life and it gives it to the listeners. And when you listen to death music, it's going to take a hold of your heart, and it's going to affect the way you live, the outlook you have on life. Praise God for godly music. Praise God that points the way to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I really appreciated the sermon this morning. Sometimes, and it's usually on Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon or Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon, he has a way of hitting the nail on the head. And this morning he did. I appreciated that sermon this morning. I know he said he doesn't like doing those kinds of sermons, but we need them. You know, without turning from our ways. And I mean, Gail and I were talking about that this afternoon. People we know that have confessed Christ are living such lives. I mean, they're no different than they were before. And they wonder why their kids are in rebellion, why their kids are doing drugs or sleeping around. They wonder why there's no victory in their lives and in the lives of their children. And they don't go to church. They don't profess anything at home. They don't even point the way in their homes for those children. What do they expect? Because they became Christians for a blessing to be blessed? I mean, there's blessings, but we're supposed to be blessings too. Hallelujah. Thank you for the message this morning. It was a good weekend. I had a good weekend. You were there too. You know, something Gail pointed out, and I've seen it before and I've heard it before, but in one of the scriptures he read this morning, it says where the Pharisee and the publican came in, it says, and the Pharisee prayed to himself, I'm glad I'm not like him. I fast, I tithe, I'm sure glad I'm not like him. I mean, ugh. If I was like him, ugh. You know, but I mean, I can picture this man. And who's listening? Who's listening? He is. Who else is listening? Whoever's standing around is listening. And what's the spirit that is being shed abroad there? I was reading it and I thought, that'd be interesting to get up some Sunday morning and just start reading that from the pulpit here. Oh, Lord, opening prayer. I'm glad I'm not like him. Oh, it would be interesting. Is that what he was doing? I don't know. It doesn't really say. But he could have been the one standing in the pulpit. Could have been. Could have been. Gail and I and the girls went to Just Give Me Jesus this weekend. It was good. It was very good. Just things that were. One of the ladies, I believe, and I can never remember her name. What's the second one that talked? Jill Briscoe. I believe it was her that said, we've been taking God out of schools. Get God out of school. Can't pray in school. Get God out of school. Get God out of the government. Can't have God in our government. Can't be praying in government buildings. Can't have those Ten Commandments out there on the lawn in that place because that's a public. Got to separate church and state. Can't have them together. God, why did you allow this to happen in New York? Are you talking to me? Because you didn't want me around. Why did God allow it? Why did you do that, God? Why did you allow that to happen? Could it be? One of them said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Repentance, just what we were talking about this morning. Turn from their wicked ways. Then shall I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Have we, as a church, just sat back? I'm sorry if I'm preaching. Have we sat back and just allowed God to be pushed out of our lives? Have we allowed the world to come in and tell us we can't have God in our lives? Why have we not stood up and made more noise in this? I don't know. I mean, this is me talking now. That's not her. But why haven't we? Why have we allowed that to happen? I believe there's been, the last few years, some turning around in that. There are court battles being fought. Prayer is being allowed back in schools. There are lawyers that are volunteering their time in courts to take these things before judges and show them the laws and explain to them the laws that are on the books that say this is a legal thing. It's not illegal. It's legal to do. That's happening more. But is this a wake-up call to the church? I believe it is. Samaritan and the the man that was beat up on the road. So the man came to Jesus. Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? You know the story of the Good Samaritan. He asked the man when he got all done. So who was the good neighbor to this man? He couldn't even say the Samaritan. He said, the man who showed him mercy. Go and do likewise. Have we been neighbors? Have we been good neighbors? Have we been those that are showing mercy to the world, to those that are beat up, laying on the side of the road? Have we been doing that? I sure haven't. Can't be bothered with that. I'm in a hurry. Hallelujah.
What?
You asked a question about how, what was your question again? You asked the question of how we
probably asked 17.
Yeah, anyway, we've been doing enough. Anyway, you know, I think people, Christians in general, are probably more quiet and just don't, they kind of let things go.
Yes.
And you know, I'll just give you an example. I believe there's many, many more Christians in our United States than there is Asian lesbians. Look at the clout the gays and lesbians
yes.
are all of a sudden gotten over the last few years just by opening their mouth
yes.
and demanding things. And they've gotten
yes.
clout. They've got
yes.
more clout than Christians got.
Yes.
Just
well,
because they've asked for it.
They've taken it.
And are taking
yeah.
it, but they've gotten it.
Yes.
And
yeah, the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Exactly. And here we sit by with our mouths shut.
Yeah.
Why?
And as you're talking to the story of the widow and the unjust judge. She kept being persistent, being persistent, being persistent, being persistent in what she wanted. Finally, he said, huh, all right, enough is enough. Do it. I'll give to you what you want. Just get out of my hair. And I think that's a lot of what you're seeing in what you just were talking about. Because they're so vocal, they're so aggressively vocal. And the courts are afraid, people are afraid, because I don't want to be sued, so I'll just back up here and give them what they want. And so they're taking inch by inch, inch by inch, inch by inch. You know, but isn't that how the devil does it? It says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Is the church just backing up? Are we standing on firm foundation? Yeah, we are. Jesus Christ. I'll be right with you, Della. Are we backing up and letting those gates keep moving further and further? Is that, I don't know. Is that what we're doing? I don't know. But we've got to do something different than we've been doing. Absolutely. I believe we are. Absolutely. Della.
I've been just really thrilled in one sense in the last week to never hear anybody mention the problem of church and state.
Isn't that amazing?
Congressmen are quoting scripture.
Yes.
And a year ago, you couldn't have a nativity set on Capitol steps.
Yes.
You couldn't sing a Christmas carol at a school program at Christmas.
Yes.
Now, those things, you don't hear a word about that. And Saturday morning, I was just so blessed. The TV was on, and they had this kids' corner thing, and where a student is telling the news. And she told about the things that have been going on and how a fifth grade class has shown their loyalty to the country. And I thought this would never have happened a year ago. A fifth grade class used school material, art class time, to make posters, individual letters that said, God bless America. They went out during school time along the highway, held them up and waved flags and yelled and hollered, and semi-drivers honked the horns as they drove by. And they're holding this up, and this was school time. And nobody said a word about church and state. Let's get back to that.
Amen. Amen to that. And I hope this is that first giant step toward that. And I hope, Lord, give us strength to do it and stand firm. I hope that we don't back up any further and let the devil have the territory. I hope we start pressing in and pressing on toward that mark to take back this nation for Jesus Christ.
It's been an interesting time, a very interesting time. Very interesting.
And I don't know if it falls in love or whatever, but I've been at my job for years. September 5th, it was my year anniversary, and I had my annual meeting that day. And to start with, I have to go back to when I got hired there. I came home from El Salvador and then Milwaukee, and I had less than a week to get an internship for school. And I had two numbers, and I prayed over both of those numbers first. And then I called them because I knew I needed one. I needed an internship now. I needed it right away. So I prayed over both the numbers, and I prayed that God would have the one that He wanted me to be at to call me back. And I prayed that He would open the doors for me so that I could get where He wanted me to be. And so I called both numbers, and within 20 minutes, ESR called me back, which is the company I work for. And they said, well, the supervisor, Sarah, is on vacation, but come in on Friday, fill out an application, we'll give it to her, she'll call you back, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, I'll do that. And so I came in on Friday, and I went in and filled the application, and I prayed over it, and I just said, God, put this in the right hands, let things happen when you want it to happen and stuff. And as I was filling it out, the human relations woman, Sue, came out and said, you know, since you're filling it out, why don't we go have an interview in the boardroom? And I'm like, okay. And so we went in the boardroom, and we sat for about an hour, and she interviewed me, and she said, I'll be right back. And she left, and she came back about 5 minutes later and said, I just talked to the head director, and he said, hire you on the spot. And I was like, okay, open doors, guys. Wide open. And it was a paid internship, as well as not just an internship, it was a paid internship, and it was an answered prayer. So I'm at my annual meeting on the 13th of September, lasted 3 hours. And I was in there with Sarah, which was my supervisor, and Katie, which was my new supervisor, and then me, because it was Katie's first time ever doing an annual review on the staff because she just moved into the new supervisory position. And Sarah was my old boss. And I was sitting there, and we were talking, and they were saying how, you know, everything was going really good. It lasted 3 hours. It usually lasts an hour. And Sarah was saying how Sue used to walk around the office and say that she was really proud that she was the one that hired me. I found out, Sarah's like, did you know, Kelly, that Sue has been there for 13 years? And her responsibility was to hire people, and it was Sarah's responsibility to hire people, but Sue refused to do interviews because they were too hard. And I was the only one, the first one Sue ever interviewed in 13 years working at the company. And she took me, she has no idea why she did it. She took me in that boardroom, interviewed me, hired me on the spot. And she had never done it before in 13 years. And they were saying how, you know, Sue was really proud, and I was able to say to them, you know, I said it was a good thing that Sue hired me and stuff, but the reason I took this job is not because of Sue. It was because I go by the leading of God and Holy Spirit. And then I was able to go back and tell them how I prayed over the phone numbers and I prayed over the application, and then God opened the doors for me to come into this company, and it had nothing to do with the people, and that totally had to do with God. And it was really nice to be able to tell them. Well, they knew that I was a Christian. They know I go to a Bible college. But just to verbalize it to both of my supervisors, that God is the one that directs my path.
What did they say to you?
He said, you know, it doesn't surprise me. She said that when she got the job, she started telling me how she got the job. And her mom was a Christian, and her mom told her to pray, and she hated the fact of praying, but her mom kept saying, you know, Katie, you just need to pray, and God will give you patience, and He'll give you the job that you need to be in. And she got the job she was supposed to be in, and she's been there for 5 years. But then it was good for her. She said it was good for her to hear that other people prayed over their jobs, too, because she thought she was weird praying over the fact of wanting this job. And that she said it. And to go on with that, when I came back from Jamaica, I was up for an interview, or for a promotion. And they gave it to another person. And it really frustrated me, but I prayed that I said, God, you have a reason for this and whatever, you know. And they gave it to this other person. And last Thursday was my annual review, 2 weeks ago, the 13th. And I told Sarah Katie that I wasn't, I prayed about them giving it to the other person, that I wasn't angry about it. I knew God had his timing and everything. And then that was on Thursday, and the next week, Wednesday, last Wednesday, the woman they gave it to resigned. And Katie came to me and said, you know, we're finally going to give you the position you deserve. And she said, I don't want you to be angry about it. She goes, I'm really frustrated about it. I said, you know, Katie, don't be frustrated that they didn't give it to me. I said, because God had a plan for me, and he had his timing for me. And that I just wasn't ready for it then. And maybe now I am. If he gives it to me, he gives it to me. If he doesn't, he doesn't.
It's interesting when you talk to people like that, that aren't godly people. They got nowhere to go with that kind of stuff. What do they do with it? Oh, okay, lady, whatever. Sure.
No negative reaction to it whatsoever. If anything, I think it really opened their eyes to me.
Sure.
And how I am.
Well, to see somebody that got stepped over when a position was opened, they were qualified for it, and in theory they should have gotten it, yet they took someone else and put them in that position, and that person does not become bitter over that or negative in any way over that. That's not normal. That's not normal. God is good.
Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God, His kingdom is long. Bring in the day of righteousness and for you doth wait, her strength unequal to her task. Rise up and make her great. Lift high the cross of Christ, tread where his feet have trod. As followers of the Son of Man, rise up, O men of God.
Be strong, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Be bold,
be strong,
for the Lord thy God is with thee. I am not afraid, no, 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 I am not dismayed, 'cause I'm walking in faith and victory. Come on and walk in faith and victory, for the Lord thy God is with thee.
Be bold,
be strong, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Be bold,
be strong,
for the Lord thy God is with thee. I am not afraid, no, 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 I am not dismayed, 'cause I'm walking in faith and victory. Come on and walk in faith and victory, for the Lord thy God is with thee.
One more time.
Be bold,
be strong,
for the Lord thy God is with thee.
Be bold,
be strong,
be strong,
for the Lord thy God is with thee. I am not afraid, no, 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 I am not dismayed, 'cause I'm walking in faith and victory. Come on and walk in faith and victory, for the Lord thy God is with thee.
Far away the noise and strife of heart, my ear is falling. Then I know the sins of earth be set on every hand. Doubt and fear and things of earth, they're vain to me are calling. None of these can move me,
beneath the cloudless sky. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah land, far below the storm of doubt upon the world is beating. Sons of men in battle on the enemy withstand. Safe am I within the castle of God's word retreating. Nothing then can reach me, 'tis Beulah land. I'm living on the mountain, underneath the cloudless sky. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling. Let the stormy breezes blow, their cry cannot alarm me. I am safely sheltered, protected by God's hand. Here the sun is always shining, here there's naught can harm me. I am safe forever. That never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah land. Viewing here the works of God, I sing in contemplation. Hearing now his blessed voice, I see the way he dwelling in the Spirit, here I learn of full salvation. Gladly will I tarry in Beulah land. I'm living on the mountain, underneath the cloudless sky. Praise God! I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah land. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Father, for
us your Son, and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done.
Verse 1.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
When we sing this, don't just look at the book and sing some words. It says, praise to the Lord. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Hallelujah. Pray this song as you sing it. Let it be a worship to the Lord. Don't just let it be words on a page coming out of your mouth. Let it be words coming through your heart. Praise to the Lord.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is thy help and salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth. Shelters thee under His wings, yea, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy
let us reason together. That's what God said. Though their sins be as scarlet, hallelujah, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as snow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you do wash us in your blood.
White as snow, though my sins be as scarlet, Lord, I know, Lord, I know that I'm clean and forgiven through the power of your blood, through the wonder of your love, through faith in you, I know that I can.
said, Lord, I know, Lord, I know that I'm clean and forgiven through the wonder of your love, through the wonder of your love, through faith in you.
Turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. I enjoyed the testimonies and George's opening remarks, and I may just wind up preaching half this message tonight and half next week. We'll see how it goes. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Speaking tonight about the principal thing. The principal thing. Chapter 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get what? Wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. I've preached a couple of times on understanding. Tonight we want to look at wisdom, the principal thing. If it's the principal thing, therefore you get it. And you all do all that you can to get it. Therefore, get wisdom. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word tonight. We ask, Lord, that you would bestow your wisdom upon each of us. Help us, Lord, tonight to see and to have a desire to be even wiser. For we pray it in Jesus' name, amen. The primary root word for wisdom comes from a root word meaning intelligent, skillful or artful, to be cunning. A second Hebrew word comes from the root word meaning to be circumspect, to act prudently, to prosper and have good success, to be expert, to behave oneself wisely, to teach, to guide wittingly. There's a lot of definitions that we could look at as we look at wisdom. However, the stated purpose of wisdom, of Proverbs, is to know wisdom and to receive the instruction of wisdom. Wisdom is contrasted with foolishness. Wisdom can be seen as understanding and seeing the hand of God in every experience of life. Like Kelly was talking about in her testimony tonight. Seeing the hand of God in every experience of life. God provides a description of his wisdom in James chapter 3 and verse 17. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. There are five main points to the message. The first point is this: how wisdom is demonstrated. How wisdom is demonstrated in the Scriptures. When wisdom is first mentioned in the Scriptures, it involves the skillful making of things. Skillful making of things that were a benefit to the work of God. First, there was the making of the priestly garments. And the people who made those were filled with the spirit of wisdom. And next, there was the construction of various buildings for the work of God. The man chosen to build the tabernacle was a man that was filled with wisdom. So all the builders here tonight, you're filled with wisdom. According to the Scriptures, that was one of the marks of a wise person. He gave them the spirit of wisdom and the know-how to build. The theme of building, I was surprised to find out, continued throughout Scripture in connection with the wise. God gave Solomon great wisdom and understanding, and with it he built the tabernacle. And then in the book of Proverbs, he stated, wisdom hath builded her house. Again, he explained in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 3, Through wisdom is a house builded. By understanding it's established, but by wisdom a house is builded. And then as Jesus grew up, what was the skill that he learned? Carpentry. He was a carpenter in his father's shop, and he began his ministry. He used the analogy of a wise man building his house upon a rock, but a foolish man building his house upon the sand. Paul described his ministry by comparing himself to a wise master builder. And so I say all of this tonight to say this. The function of wisdom, when it gets right down to it, the real function of wisdom is to build up. The result of foolishness is to tear down, but wisdom builds up. Proverbs 14:1 says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. C.H. Spurgeon said, wisdom is the right use of knowledge. To know is not to be wise, but to know how to use knowledge is to have wisdom. Just because a person might have knowledge does not mean that they have wisdom. But if they know how to use that knowledge rightly, then that is wisdom. Let me give you some characteristics of a wise person. First of all, a wise person will love one who rebukes him. How many of you think that's easy? Anybody like rebuke? Probably none of us like rebuke. And it doesn't say that, you know, that here anyway, that you have to like it. But you are wise if you take it. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 8. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. The outstanding example of this in the Old Testament is David. When Nathan the prophet came to him and pronounced and pointed out his sin, David receives rebuke from the mouth of Nathan. You know what a lot of kings did if somebody came and rebuked them? That's right. Off with the head. You didn't want to be a bearer of bad news in those days. I tell my children all the time, you don't want to be the bearer of bad news. You know, sometimes they can't wait to tell you if a catastrophe has happened. You know what Andrew did? You know, they rush up, they want to be the first to tell you. You don't want to be the bearer of bad news. Then I explain, you know what happened in the Bible? Those that had to run and carry the bad news to the king, a lot of times they didn't live out the rest of the day. Don't want to be a bearer of bad news. And yet, the Bible says here, we reprove a wise man and he will love you for it. And David was one that could receive rebuke. And he did at the mouth of Nathan. In the New Testament, it's Peter receiving rebukes from Jesus. You know, Peter was always the one to open his mouth. He is always the one to get the rebukes as well. But David words it excellently in Psalm 141 and verse 5. Let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. So first of all, a wise person will love one who rebukes him. Number two, a wise person will consider the forces of nature, the lessons of nature. Proverbs 6:6 says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. We can even learn wisdom by studying the ant. The ant is wise because even though they are not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. They each work according to their own ability. Anybody here ever had an ant farm? We did until the ants died off. But we had an ant farm one time, and I was amazed. Those ants, they just work and they work and they work, and then one of them drops over, and they carry that one, and they bury that one, and they just seem to pick up the slack for that one, and they work hard. They each work according to their ability. They work harmoniously. I never saw any ant get in a fight. Have you ever seen two ants fight? I've never seen two ants fight. They work together. They work in harmony. They persevere in the face of danger. Army ants have been known to cross deep rivers by, first of all, wadding up in a ball and then rolling into the current, making it safely all across the whole river. The conies, the Bible said, are a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. How do those spiders get in anyway? I would like to know.
But yet we're always seem like we're always killing spiders. You know, there's those daddy long leg spiders, and there's all kinds of spiders, some ugly spiders this year. I don't know if you noticed them, but I have. How do they get in? They're wise. They're even in king's palaces. They're in the nicest homes. Somehow they manage to get in. And then a wise son delights the heart of his father. Proverbs 10:1, a wise son maketh a glad father. Children, it would be a wise thing for you today to make your mom and dad happy with you and to delight your parents. A wise person controls his tongue. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The contrast here is between the talker and the non-talker. It makes simple sense that the more a person talks, the more mistakes he can make. And that's true of any kind of speech, whether it's done in public, whether it's done one-on-one, whether it's done to a small group. The more we talk, the more chances we will have of making a mistake. A preacher once breathlessly said, my, if we get any more people in here, we are going to have to big a builder. No, I can't say it. We are going to have to build a builder bigging. I got that one out. An evangelist once cried, there was Jonah in the welly of the Baal. He stopped and thought about what he said, and then trying to cover his mistake, he roared with even more emphasis, the Baal's welly. Somewhat abashed by the laughter, he muttered, well, he was down there anyway. Preserved for time and posterity is the memorable narration at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier at Arlington Cemetery. Where an announcer on three major networks solemnly proclaimed, the flag is at half mast. The firing squad steps forward, and now we hear a 21 son glute. A lady speaking at a woman's club is giving a book review and dramatically narrates, they entered the land as kinkering kongs. And I've had my days too. My worst blunder was when I was preaching, I thought under the anointing, and I said with enthusiasm, this mortal must put on immorality. To this day, I cannot say that verse without stopping and thinking about it and concentrating real hard. Then there was the usher on duty, for I understand the first time, who approached someone tactfully and bending over, said in a hoarse whisper, pardon me, madam, you are occupying the wrong pie. Let me show you to another sheet. Our text has something more serious to say than what we've discussed here tonight. It has to do with gossip and being a busybody and discussing everybody's business but our own. A wise person will not do that. A wise person will set a watch before his mouth. A wise person wins others to Christ. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. The soul winner is involved in the most lucrative business on earth. It pays more dividends now and in eternity than any other business that I know of. Some of the greatest soul winners, and if you want to write these names down, you should read books that these people either wrote or books about them. Because a companion of a wise person will be wise. And the best way that I know of learning how to be a soul winner is to learn from soul winners. Men like Dr. Walter Lewis Wilson, Billy Sunday, Dwight Moody, Torrey, and Finney, and some of the greatest missionaries, soul-winning missionaries, were Carey, Studd, Eliot, and Brainerd. You read any of their books or you read books about them, just by reading them, I guarantee you will grow in wisdom. You'll learn how to lead other peoples to Christ like they did. And a wise person wins people to the Lord. And then a wise person listens to counsel and instruction. Proverbs 12:15, he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. A wise son hears his father's instruction. Proverbs 13:1. A wise person makes friends with the wise. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Remember, wisdom builds up, foolishness tears down, destroys. This is a great verse in the book of Proverbs. He that walketh with wise men will be wise, but he that is a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Who do you walk with? It's a great verse. Remember the old saying, birds of a feather flock together? Other sayings are, no man can redeem time who is not careful in his choice of company. Never make friends with a man who is not better than you are. Paul says that evil communications corrupt good manners. A young lady swished through the living room in a formal on the way to a dance. Her father, sitting beside a cold fireplace, remarked, "Now, honey, you know I don't approve of this." And the daughter laughed and came up with the usual line, "Oh, Daddy, don't be so silly. Jane will be there, and you said that she was a Christian, and Jim is taking her. He sings in the choir, and honey," said her father, "reach into the fireplace for a minute and pick up one of those coals." The girl studied the fireplace for a minute, and then a thought came, and she believed that she had outwitted her father. She walked over to the fireplace, and she picked up a coal that had been dead for more than 24 hours. "See there," she said gently, "it didn't burn me at all. It didn't hurt me a bit." She threw it back in the fireplace. Her wise father said, "Honey, now look at your hands. See there? Bad company will smut you every time. A wise person makes friends with wise people. Only a foolish person goes around with those that bring destruction. A companion of fools, the Bible warns us, will be destroyed." And since the soul winner, the wise man, is also the soul winner, Proverbs 11:30, it follows that the way to learn how to win people to Christ is to hang out with those who do it. "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools, he'll be destroyed." Rehoboam had this trouble. We'll look at him last week. The prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, he had this trouble. He started being a fool because he started hanging around with the wrong crowd. And then a wise person knows how to use information in the right way. Proverbs 15:2 says, "The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness." Knowledge is used by the tongue as well as by the hands. The difference between the wise and the fool here is that the wise person knows how to use his knowledge in the right way. He knows when he should give out knowledge. He knows what things he should share with others and what things he should not. He uses the knowledge that he has in the right way. That's wisdom. But the fool here, he's so twisted in his brains and his mouth that everything he says comes out wrong. And whatever he says, it accomplishes nothing but foolishness. Know how to use your knowledge in the right way. And then a wise person will avoid conflict with leaders. Proverbs 16:14 says, "The wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it." And then a wise man will learn how to give precise answers. Proverbs 16:23, "The heart of the wise teaches his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips." This is the man with the understanding heart. He handles a matter wisely. His heart shows him what to say, what not to say, when to say it, and how to say it. All those things are important. And you might have something that needs to be said, but you need to say it in the right time. And you not only need to say it in the right time, you need to say it in the right manner. You need to know how to say it. All of those things are wisdom that is being exercised, wisdom that is put to use. Learning how to give precise answers. You know, the Bible says that we are to be ready always to give an answer to every man who asks a reason for the hope that lies within it. A wise person will have an answer for people that come to him and ask, "Why do you have hope? Aren't you afraid with all these tragedies, with these terrorists on the loose? Aren't you afraid?" You know what a wise person will have an answer for them? A wise person is always ready to give an answer to every man who asks a reason of the hope that lies within them. And then a wise person knows how to give good counsel. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. To disperse a thing is to give like a disbursement, to disperse the thing all over the place. See, the wise man, he feeds on wisdom, but he conceals the wisdom until the wisdom needs to come out. And then he gives the wisdom and he distributes it to those who will respect and honor it. He speaks at the right time, he speaks with the right words, and he disperses the right thing to the right person. You know, there are some times that there are people that you have to handle differently. I might disperse some words of wisdom to George, but I might have to disperse wisdom in another way for Mark to understand it. We understand individuals, and we're able to give them counsel. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. Distributing, dispersing the right words at the right time to the right person. Next week we'll talk about why wisdom is so important and what you can do to become even wiser, to gain wisdom. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wisdom that we find in your word. Lord, we know that in your word there is riches and honor and life. And wisdom is preferable to all of those things because wisdom is the principal thing. And I pray tonight that you would lay it upon each of our hearts that wisdom is the principal thing, and therefore we have to get wisdom. And Lord, the wisdom that we do have, we pray that you would give us more, that you would give it liberally, that you would pour out wisdom to each of us as we seek it and as we ask for it. And I pray tonight, Lord, that if there is any here that is up against a situation that they don't know how to handle, I pray, Lord, that you would give them wisdom. Help them to know how to solve that problem. Help them to know what to do in that situation. And Lord, for those that are desperate of it tonight, desperately in need of it, I pray that you would give the gift of wisdom. That this something that they would never have figured out on their own. But Lord, you would supernaturally manifest your spirit and your power in this respect in the giving of a word of wisdom to them. We thank you, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
God, we thank you for another opportunity to come to this place and worship you. To hear more of your word, and Lord, for the wisdom that has been bestowed on us tonight, we just ask, God, that you would help us to grow in wisdom and become wiser individuals. Lord, desiring to know everything that your word has for us. We just ask, God, that you open our hearts and minds. Just be with us this week. Bless this food downstairs as we partake of it in the fellowship that we have. In Jesus' name, amen.